Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And the word that God gave me on this morning was, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. As I stated on yesterday, Ezekiel was powerful. You know you're something when you can walk through the valley of death, bring back life. Hallelujah. And we all have been dead in our faith. We all have been dead in our walk. And sometimes you just need something to help these old dry bones remember who we are and who we belong to. So all I can say is thank you, Lord God, for hearing us, for seeing us, for knowing our names. For God is good and greatly to be praised. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, thanking you for this mighty, mighty word. This word to lead us, this word to guide us, this word to get us through, this word to help us be the best we could be. So, Father God, in the name of Christ Jesus, I thank you this morning that these dry bones hear your word, that I have been lost in sin. As the song says, far from the peace of truth. But Lord God, you gave me a lifeline. And I could do nothing more than say thank you. Thank you for the people that invited me to church, who knew my heart and saw you in me, and who were persistent in their walk and in their involvement in listening to you to stay and fight. So, Father God, help me to invite more to us, to your house, to our house, to come and sup at your table. So, Father God, I lift up this word this morning. I lift up all travelers. I lift up all travelers today. All those having to travel the highways and byways, I lift them up today. Asking you, Father God, to provide traveling grace and mercy that they will not be in accident. Their cars will work the way they need to. They will reach their final destination. Safe, secure, and whole. And filled with you, God, so they listen for your voice as their job. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Honor to God who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. So thanking God this morning for his grace, for his mercy, for his goodness, and for his timing, and above all, for his word. Thank God for his word today. And the word of God that came to the prophet Ezekiel . And I ask forgiveness for this host is a little tired. I did some driving on yesterday, and I want to thank you all for your prayers. I made it safely to my destination, and I made it safely home. And I had a good night's rest. So I thank all of you for your prayers. Thank you. And again, I say thank you. As I get straight on my desk and ready to roll. Thank you, Father God, again for this word. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. This is the prophet Ezekiel speaking. And set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Oh, I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put clean strength on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the scene and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophecy, Son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the far winds, O breath, and breathe on these flames, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus is the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, that when I have opened your grave, O my people, and brought you up from your grave, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place them in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. And you're saying, well, wait a minute. Those are zombies. You know, we had the living dead, the walking dead, the many dead, the open dead, the so-called dead, the, you know, every kind of dead you can think of. But we all know that dead in spirit is like being dead in the valley. Dead in spirit is like being dry bones, needing the breath of life. So now let's see what happens. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 15. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, ask for you, Son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph and the stick of Ephraim and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Then join them one another for yourself into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. Uh-oh. I mean, read that again. Then join them one to another for yourself into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, say, will you not show us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand, and the stick on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Then say to them, thus says the Lord. Come on now, God is speaking this morning, and all we can do is listen and understand. Our salvation is at hand. Our restoration is at hand. And it says, Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. Hallelujah, come King Jesus. Nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor write with their detestable things, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land and that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwell, and they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctified Israel, and my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. Wow, what a word this morning. God is speaking to our dry bones. God is wanting us to live and not die. He is calling his children home. One day, all the dead in Christ shall rise and be at home with him. God is in charge of everything. And all we, his children, have to do is believe. Do you believe this morning that you are being called for such a time as this? Do you believe you're being called to walk out of your season, out of your valley moment, that you're coming back together, every ligament, every muscle, every bone, create a new you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as we continue in chapter 38 of Ezekiel, wow, is all I can say. What a word. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. The prophecy against them, and prophesy against him, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O God, the prince of Lashmash and Tidal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army of horses and horsemen. All speedily clothed, a great company, all splendidly clothed, a great company, with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Lydia are worse than all. Of them, the shields and helmets come all its troops. Gomer and all his troops, the house of Togarmah, from the far north, and all its troops, many people are with you. Prepare yourself and be ready. Prepare yourself and be ready. There's a fight going on. There's a battle going on. It's my glasses going on so I can see what I'm reading. Come on now. To prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days you will be visited in the latter years. You will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them shall dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, cover the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many people with you. Thus says the Lord God, on the day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are good inhabited, and against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and things, who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarsh, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, and take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to God, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, and you and many people with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. I will be in the latter days that I will obtain. I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me, and I am hallowed in you, O God, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, you are he in whom I have spoken in the former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years of those days that I would bring you against them. And it will come to pass in the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face, but in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are in the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down. The steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against God throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many people who are with him. Bloody, rain, great hailstorm. Great firestorm. You know, I'm going to read this again because I want to make sure it comes down and we understand it. He said, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his sheep, and on all the many people who are with him, bloody rain, great hailstorms, fire, and brimstone. That is some serious business. That's like extinction level stuff. God help place. Because thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many names. Whew. I will be known in the eyes of many nations, then they shall know that I am the Lord. Don't play with God. Don't play with God. He will let you know who he is. Who he is. Not who we are, but who he is. And he is nothing to play with. God is nothing to play with. He will let you know who he is. And he will mess you up. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. God does not play. Don't come in playing church. Don't come in playing with God. He is great and greatly to be praised. And it says this in Life Lessons for Ezekiel, chapter 37 and 38. And for those that are just joining moving forward, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year, and I'm coming out of the New King James Version. And I'm thanking God for waking me up this morning. And I say this in the Word of God. He says, you know, Dr. Stanley, life lessons, life example, life questions come from Dr. Stanley, and that God has given him visions and given him what to say. And I thank God for giving me what to say as I come through with his word every morning. And I'm thankful that God has chosen me because I have learned so much. And I pray that you have learned right along with me. And it says this in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 2. I will. Not Ezekiel. But I will put, and I'm going to just call it ligament, and all the things that go together to hold us together, to hold the need on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. And it says, this passage looks forward to a day when God will gather the remnant of his ancient people to Israel again. He will breathe new life into them in such a way that the whole world will recognize the miraculous hand of God. No other nation in history has ever come back into existence after disappearing from the world stage for 19 brutal centuries. But Israel did in 1948. God would yet fulfill all his promises to his ancient people. Now, understand, Israel, modern day Israel, was created by man. And people came home. Many have not. And when the next group comes, when the next incantation and resurrection of Israel happens, you will see the mighty, mighty, mighty hand of God. when people will come from every corner of the world to go home. And it will be like watching The Walking Dead. It will be like seeing folks who are dead in spirit coming back to life. When God puts that seed of hope in a future, in a future. And it says, dust whirled in the air as the soldiers groaned, stretched, and rubbed their eyes. Ezekiel was confounded. Just moments earlier, the same dust now cloud in the air had lain undisturbed on the ground. The thick layer had covered bones that remained in the valley from an ancient battle. The bones were old, dry. So much time had passed since they had been functioning parts of human bodies. There was no longer any evidence of the flesh that once covered them. No life or hope resided in the desolate valley. Yet the Spirit of the Lord had breathed life into them. And now before Ezekiel stood an army of men, they were alive, each forgotten face. The strength in each ancient hand was restored in the valley of death. The Lord brought life, and through his miracle of the Lord's power, Ezekiel understood that the Lord had great plans for the nation of Judah. Hope was rare during the era of Judah's history. Ezekiel himself must have felt a desolate and useless as the pile of bones had lain before him. Babylon had invaded and conquered the holy city of Jerusalem and seemingly had destroyed the nation of Yahweh. The strategy of the Babylonian army was simple and brilliant. And scattering of the people they conquered so that there could be no regrouping or retaliation. Communities were torn asunder, families were separated, and even the temple was destroyed. When I read this, I feel pain because my ancestors were torn from their lands and scattered all over this planet. Families were pulled apart. You don't know who you belong to. You don't know where you come from. You don't know your name. Tears you up to know that you are a dry bone. Not knowing who you are. And it says, as Ezekiel sat on the bank of the Jabbar River in Babylon, he must have pondered God's will for judgment and realized that only a miracle could bring the people who had been scattered back together. Only the mighty working of the Lord could rebuild the devastated nation. Yet when God brought Ezekiel to the valley, the miracle of life was before him. Where there was only bones, the Lord added muscles, tendons, tissues, and in those restored silent bodies, the Lord breathed the life. He would do the same with Judah. He would take the spiritually dead, scattered nation, and by his might bring it back to life. Thank you, God. The name Ezekiel means God is strong, but who could know the strength and power and the Lord had chosen, that the Lord had chosen to show to Judah. As Ezekiel watched the Lord's work with dismay, he heard the Lord's promise, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and perform this, said the Lord. In your own life, you may find yourself feeling disappointed, depressed, desperate, disheartened, disillusioned, or even feeling as if part of you are dead. We all have been in our valley of dry bones. We all have felt at some point in our life disappointed, depressed, desperate, disheartened, disillusioned, or even feeling as if part of you are dead. I've been there. I know I've been there. And I don't know about you. I can only speak about me. But I've been in this place. Toe up from the blow up. By God. But God. And as we go forth, it says this. Your valley of dry bones may be great loss of failed relationship. An illness that consumes you or a circumstance which is beyond your control. Trials will come throughout your life which seem impossible to overcome. But Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, John 16:33. There is life in the valley. The same God who breathed life into the old dry bones sustains you today. He is able to infuse you with creation out of you. Woo. Infuse you with new life and hope. He is able to make a new creation out of you and restore your hope and dreams. He is able to take your valley of pain and defeat and fill them with victory. To be mighty in spirit is not about living a perfect trial-free life. Come on, even Christians go through. I go through. I can't speak for anybody but me, but I've been here. I've been in this valley, and all I could cry was, oh, Lord God, hear me. Jesus, hear me, be with me, lead me, guide me, show me the way, Lord. But I can't do it by myself. I don't know about you. I can only speak about me. But I can tell you, I've been in my valley, and I know that I felt like I was dead. But God brought me back. He gave me new life. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for hope. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going here again, and it says this. There is light in the valley. The same God who breathed light to the old dry bones sustains you today. I gotta bring it out one more time. He is able to infuse you with new life and hope. He did me. He is able to make a new creation out of you and restore your hopes and dreams. He is able to take your valley of pain and defeat and fill them with victory. To be mighty in spirit is not about living a perfect trial-free life. It is about facing your trials with the knowledge that the Lord is mighty. Woo, thank you, Jesus. To save and able to bring life where there was only death. He works in miraculous ways for each of his children. He works for me, and I know he'll work for you. I got more to do. I got a lot more work to do to get my house in order. And I know that God is with me and that he will help me, that he will guide me, that he will lead me. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for your leadership. Thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd, for being my friend, for knowing my name. Oh, thank you, Lord. And it says Ezekiel was astonished by the miracles, and he believed the Lord would do as he promised. History shows that God faithfully returned the nation of Judah to the land of his inheritance. When you're in the valley, hope may seem far away, but God is there for you, and he is planning the moment when he will breathe life into your old dry bones. Take heart, just as the victory was new for Ezekiel and the nation of Judah, God is new to you. Just one breath from God, and your life will never be the same. All I can say is, does Israel exist today? It does. It does. God brought a remnant home, but there's more that are coming, more that will come. Get ready when you start to see the Israelites coming home, the Hebrew children who have scattered the lost 10 tribes, but no one knows where they are. A remnant of Judah has come home, but there is more that's home. All we have to do is watch as well as faith. God does not lie. And if he said he'd bring Judah back together into one nation, he's bringing Israel back into one nation. But Judah and Israel will never be split again. You can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. Ezekiel 38:16, life lesson. I will bring you again my land, so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O God. Just as God used seven Pharaohs to gain victory for himself in the eyes of the watching nations, Joshua 2:10-9, so will he use God one day to again gain victory for himself on the world stage. And it says in verse 23 of chapter 38 of Ezekiel, I will be known in the eyes of many nations. The entire world has always been in God's divine sight. He wants to bless and favor the whole earth with his glory and bring all nations into a joyful and obedient walk with him. God wants us all to be one, to love him and to love each other. No wars, no strife, just helping hands, helping each other to survive. As the song says, I pray for you, you pray for me. I love you, I need you to survive. We need each other, and we need God. Our song for this morning is Psalm, it's 132nd Psalm. And it says, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. He, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house, or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes, or slumber to my eyelids, until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Behold, we heard it of it in Ephraim. We found it in the field of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Also, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength, let your peace be promoted with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read that one section again. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. Are you shouting this morning? Are you thanking God today? Are you giving him glory today? Out of your valley of dry bones today, are you put back together today? Because God is calling you for such a time as this. It's time to go to work. In Proverbs 29:4 says, the king establishes the law by justice, but he who receives bribes overthrows it. God is looking for righteousness now. God is looking for folks who want to go to work, who want to do what he has called them to do. And when we go to James chapter 4, verse 1 through 17, it says this, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not have. Bam! You do not have because you do not ask. you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Come on. Adulterers and adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? You cannot have two masters. You can't live and be of the world and say you're of God. You can't be partying in the club on Saturday night and trying to sing in the choir on Sunday morning. It just does not work. God will put you down. He will set you down. He will show up and show out on you. And it goes on to tell us, whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Have you humbled yourself before the Lord today? Have you asked God, Father God, forgive me of any sins I have committed in thought, in word, or in deed against your divine majesty? Have you said, Father God, increase as I decrease? Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my strength and my redeemer. Have you prayed today? Have you asked God to lead you today? Have you asked God to guide you today? And that word says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We cannot live in two worlds. We can't be part of this and part of that. Say, oh, I love God as I break it down in the club. You know, I'm sorry, Beyonce is beautiful, but you can't be a church girl and call yourself a child of God. God knows your heart. He knows your spirit, and he will pull you out of the world and do what you do for him. If you dance, you need to be dancing for God. If you sing, you need to be singing for God. If you are a leader, you need to be leading in the house of God. God is calling us out of the world. It is time to go to work. Come on now. As we always are begging God for something, what are you doing for God today? What are you doing for God today? And I see clarity. Thank you, God. And what does it say again? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I can only speak for me how God lifted me up. Thankful today that God lifted me up. I'm thankful today that God pulled me out of despair. I'm thankful today that God is helping me clean up my mess in my life. I can only speak for myself. I'm grateful today that God gave me traveling grace and mercy to pick up my mom and for my friends to see my mom and I laugh together and have joy. Because that's what parents and children should have, joy. They should, when you see your children, you should be happy to see them. When your children see you, they should be happy to see you. We've got to change our ways and walk with God because we are his children, and he's happy to see us come to salvation. And we're happy to be sons and daughters of the Most High God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. We just got to love him more than anything. And as James continues, he says, do not speak evil of one another, brothers. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Come on now. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? God is telling us in his word, we got to get out of the judging business. We got to start trying to take care of what we got to do. Because we all, just like the one you judging, as Matthew talks about that big old huge point in your eye, and you trying to judge the speck in mine or the plank in my eye, and I'm trying to judge the speck in yours. We need to get out of the judging business. Let me help you with your plank as you help me with my speck. And we come together to build the kingdom of God. We got to stop judging. Look at her coming in here in that short. Look at him. All sagging and bagging. You know what that means. Yeah, I work, you know. Who are you? Look at all them kids. Ain't got husband the first girl. Been having babies since all I know is I knew her grandmama. And, you know, really? Judging Susie? Who are we to judge anybody? Well, I heard. There we go. I heard, child. I always heard something. But then when you ask them, and who told you that? They can't never give you an answer because they heard it from the devil. And you need to keep on moving because I don't want to hear what you heard. I don't care. I'm going to do what I got to do for God, and you need to do what you got to do for God. And we need to come together and do what we both got to do for God and stop judging each other. Folks are dying because of judgment. People are killing each other because of judgment. Folks doing what they doing, but you judging, so you're going to go and murder and kill and destroy. We got people dead because somebody took it in their hands to be the judgment of God and go and kill them because they were in a club that was a lifestyle they didn't believe in. But the word of God says, thou shalt not kill. Is it not? The word of God says, thou shalt not steal. You're stealing our life and you kill someone. We are God's creation. And it's only God that can take our life. But yet, you have judging. It's a judging spirit. I'm going to judge you because you did this. I'm going to judge you because you did that. What did Jesus do when they came to him with the women, that woman that committed adultery? Did he stone it? Did he vilify it? Did he pull out her hair and beat her or burn her? No. He said, down, it's all right. In the dust. But I bet he was, what I feel like he was writing was only what the people that had those stones could see. Their iniquity. Their mess. As you ready to stone, let me show you your stuff. Remember how you took John's money and you told him you would pay him back, but you didn't? Remember how you asked your mama to co-sign for the car that you let get repossessed that messed up her credit? But yet you don't speak to your mama's stuff. Because she just acted all up and crazy. Come on now. I believe Jesus was right in the sense of, as you have brought this woman to me to be stoned, where is the man that she was caught in the act of adultery with? Are you going to stone him? You got to understand again. Do not speak evil of one another, brother. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Come on now. But what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord will, come on now, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. We better understand this word was for all of us today. God is putting an assignment in us to do what is right in the sight of God. And some life lessons as we wrap up this morning. James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. What does God make us ask him what for? What we need and want rather than just giving it to us without asking. For one thing, he knows what he is. What if he did not set it up this way? He might never get a fellowship with us. Are you asking God for something today? Are you wanting God to do something today? Are you asking amiss and wondering why you haven't got what you asked for? And the word of God tells us in James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Praise God. This is another way of saying, as God spoke through Samuel the prophet, those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be highly, lightly esteemed. Come on now. Are you honoring God today? James 4:17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it is to him, it is a sin. When God puts a burden on our hearts for someone, we dare not shove the inclination to the back of our mind. If we do such a wicked thing, God asks, how does the love of God abide in you? When God puts somebody on your heart to pray for, stop whatever you're doing and start praying. You never know. You might be saving their life. And then you'll say the next day when you hear that such and such passed or such and such was hurt. And you say, you know what? God put them on my heart. And I didn't call. I didn't go over. I didn't do what God told me to do. We got to understand God is watching everything. And our word for today as we wrap up is a prayer. Humility of Jesus. He poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel in which he was girded. And I told you on yesterday how I felt when my pastor washed my feet. And as I read this word just now, it still touches my heart that my pastor offered herself and washed my feet. That is godly. That is miraculous. And you don't know how those disciples felt when their leader washed their feet, when Jesus washed their feet and humbled himself. Until you are there receiving or giving, you will not understand how a leader feels when they are lifted up by their leader, their shepherd, to do what God is calling them to do. You will work harder because they humble themselves for you. You're going to humble yourself and do whatever you got to do to lift up them. Humble God, you are the ultimate servant. What an upside-down reality. The King of Kings became the servant of all. I can't understand it. Why would you leave the glory of your dwelling place where you are fully honored and revered to take on the fleshly form of a boy living in relative obscurity? I know it's your love that drove you. Give me relations to comprehend the incredible implications of your sacrifice. You didn't, Lord. Your authority over your disciples are required that they do anything that you yourself wouldn't do. In your living, you taught them to live. May I follow your example, Jesus, humbly serving others in the name of love. Even the least appealing act of service is meaningful when I do it with the intention of honoring people. Your approach is better than my own. Let me be more like you. How how can you humble and serve someone today? Think about that as you go through your day, through your travel, through the things you must do to get ready for Thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever and ever. Let God hear you. Let God see you. Let God know you. Let God see you. And as Sister Carolyn has so graciously given us this morning from Carolyn's Gift, good morning. God is not limited. He can make them dry bones. Get up. Cover with every part of the body. And He will blow the breath of life into you. All you have to do is be ready to receive what God has for you. And she says, God is not limited. Anything is possible with Him. Have a wonderful Wednesday. You have none of your own. What are you asking God for today? That is all I have this morning, family. If there is anyone that has a word from God that would like to speak, now is the time. If not, I just want to say thank you all for listening in this morning. Thank you for coming in and taking a seat and allowing God's word to permeate your home, your car, your offices, your space. And I pray that we all got something out of God's word today. Oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting us all back together again. Thank you for putting me back together again. As you continue to do a work in me, God, all I can say is thank you. And as I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. If you're traveling, travel safe and mercy. May the Lord God keep you. May the Lord God cover you. May His grace shine upon you and give you safe journey to your destination, to and from your destination. In Jesus' name, be blessed, family, and have a wonderful day. I will be here tomorrow morning giving thanks to the Lord. So we will be blogging on Thanksgiving morning. I'll be cooking, but I'll be blogging too, because this is my assignment, and I'm going to do it. Now, I will not be back on Saturday morning, but I will be here. God willing. Y'all heard that right. God willing. I'll be here tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, and on Friday morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Again, God willing, because nobody knows what tomorrow is. So I thank you all. Be blessed and have a wonderful day. Because what? It's time to go to work, y'all. So let's go to work. And who do we work for? We work for the Lord. And whatever we do, we work for God. And let God see you doing the good work that He has called you to do. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap.